We often speak of mastering the mind as if it floats above the body, an abstract force we can will into discipline through thought alone. But here is a truth too often forgotten. You cannot master the mind if you neglect the vessel that creates it. The mind does not exist in isolation. It is born from the brain, fed by the body, shaped by every breath, every movement, every choice. And if the brain is in chaos, no amount of Stoic reasoning will bring you lasting clarity. The ancient Stoics understood this, even without modern neuroscience. They lived with discipline, not merely to appear virtuous, but because they knew that the health of the body shapes the health of thought. Marcus Aurelius trained daily, not to build vanity, but to cultivate resilience. Epictetus embraced simplicity, not as an aesthetic, but as a way to keep the mind clear and focused. They knew, when you honor the body, you free the mind. When you heal the brain, you restore the ability to think rightly, to judge clearly, to act wisely. Yet, in our modern world, this connection is often ignored. We try to fix our inner life through words alone, while neglecting the very system that gives rise to thought. We drown in noise, deprive ourselves of rest, feed the brain the wrong fuel, overstimulate it until it can no longer settle into stillness. And then we wonder why anxiety grows, why clarity fades, why we feel trapped in spirals of emotion and distraction. The Stoic sees through this. He understands that discipline must be holistic. The path to mental mastery begins with caring for the mind's source. This is not about perfection. It is about alignment. A daily practice of treating the brain as a sacred vessel through rest, movement, nourishment, reflection. It is about simplifying rather than overstimulating. About seeking clarity over comfort. About remembering that the mind is not some mystical force floating apart from life. It is grounded in the rhythms of the body, in the chemistry of the brain, in the practices we choose every day. And so today, we walk this path, not to chase performance, but to pursue peace. Not to perfect the mind, but to restore its natural strength and clarity. For when the brain is nourished, the mind can think deeply. When the body is in harmony, the soul can act with purpose. And when clarity returns, virtue follows. This is the Stoic way. Care for the brain, command the mind. We often imagine that the mind is a realm entirely of its own, something that can be shaped through sheer will, detached from the body that holds it. But this is an illusion. The mind is an expression of the brain. It is the product of neurons firing, chemicals balancing, systems functioning in delicate harmony. And if the brain is neglected, starved of sleep, poisoned by poor habits, overwhelmed by stimulation, the mind will suffer. Clarity will fade. Discipline will falter. No amount of reasoning can override a system in disarray. The Stoics may not have spoken of dopamine or neurotransmitters, but they understood this connection intuitively. They trained the body not out of vanity, but as an act of respect toward the whole self. Marcus Aurelius, despite being emperor, rose early to engage in physical practice before turning to matters of the state. Epictetus, despite his physical limitations, maintained discipline in routine. They knew, to command the mind, you must first care for the vessel that generates it. Modern science now confirms what philosophy long suggested. The brain and body are inseparable. Sleep deprivation impairs judgment. Poor nutrition clouds thinking. Chronic stress rewires emotional patterns. Overstimulation erodes attention. If the brain is in chaos, the mind cannot operate freely. And so, the Stoic sees caring for the brain as a primary discipline, not an afterthought. This care begins with the basics. Sleep is not a luxury, it is a foundation. Without it, reason falters. Movement is not optional. It circulates nutrients, balances mood, clears mental fog. Nutrition is not indulgence. It fuels the very chemicals that underlie mood and cognition. These are not trends. They are truths. But the Stoic goes further. He understands that the quality of attention is shaped by what the brain is fed, not just physically, but mentally. Constant digital noise, shallow stimulation, unfiltered media. These act like junk food for the brain, degrading focus, fostering anxiety, making it harder to reflect deeply. Thus, caring for the brain also means curating your inputs, choosing what to read, what to watch, what to dwell upon. This is not asceticism for its own sake. It is strategic discipline, because a well-cared-for brain becomes a fertile ground for virtue. Clarity arises. Emotional resilience deepens. The ability to judge wisely, to respond deliberately, to act with integrity, all are strengthened when the vessel is in harmony. So ask yourself daily, am I treating my brain as a sacred vessel or as an afterthought? Am I creating the conditions for clarity or for confusion? This reflection is not an indulgence, it is a responsibility. For if you seek to master your mind, you must begin by honoring the system that gives rise to it. Care for the brain. Command the mind. This is the Stoic foundation of inner strength. Rename the illness. It's not mental, it's physical. Modern language often creates a dangerous separation between mental and physical health, as if the mind floats disconnected from the body. We speak of mental illness as though it exists solely in thought or willpower, a weakness to be overcome by mindset alone. But the Stoic sees through this false divide. The mind arises from the body. Emotional imbalance is often not a defect of virtue or a lack of discipline. It is the echo of physical imbalance. If the brain's chemistry is disrupted, if the nervous system is inflamed, if the body is undernourished or deprived of rest, the mind will reflect this imbalance in thought and feeling. To label this solely mental is misleading, and it creates unnecessary shame. A Stoic views suffering with clarity. If your leg is broken, no one expects you to walk it off with positive thinking. The same is true of the brain. Anxiety, depression, brain fog, these are not moral failings. They are signals, often rooted in the body's deeper needs. To heal, you must look to the source, not merely the symptom. Seneca wrote, "We suffer more in imagination than in reality. But when the body is unbalanced, even the imagination turns against us. Thoughts spiral, fear multiplies, self-judgment intensifies. It is not because the person is weak, it is because the system itself is crying out for restoration." This is why a Stoic does not dismiss these experiences, nor attempt to think them away. He applies reason, yes, but first, he applies care. He examines the fundamentals. Is this state arising from unresolved trauma, from chronic stress, from poor sleep, from nutritional deficiency? Is the brain receiving what it needs to function in balance? If not, no amount of philosophical reflection can fully stabilize the mind. Thus, healing begins with wholeness. A disciplined life is one that tends to both body and mind as a unified whole. Movement regulates neurotransmitters. Breath calms the nervous system. Nourishment restores biochemical balance. Rest rebuilds resilience. Reflection integrates experience. And through this holistic care, the mind begins to clear. Not through force, but through harmony. When we rename the illness, when we stop calling it just mental, we free ourselves from blame and begin to treat the true causes. We return to an embodied wisdom that the self is not divided, and that by healing the body, we create the conditions for a stronger, clearer, freer mind. So the next time you find yourself trapped in spirals of thought, in waves of anxiety, in fogs of depression, pause. Ask not just, what is wrong with my mind, but what is happening in my body, in my brain? What does this system need to return to balance? From this grounded inquiry, true healing can begin. Because the Stoic knows, to master the mind, you must first honor its source. Daily discipline is the way to mental freedom. Freedom of mind is not a gift that arrives on its own. It is earned through daily discipline. Many imagine that clarity and inner peace will appear when circumstances align, when life calms down, when the external world becomes less demanding. But the Stoic sees this for the illusion it is. External life will always be turbulent. The path to mental freedom must be built from within, through consistent embodied practice. Marcus Aurelius, Emperor of Rome, understood this well. Despite the unimaginable burdens of his role, he carved space each morning to master himself. Rising early, he turned to reflection, to writing, to training both body and mind. Not because he had free time, but because without this discipline, the noise of the world would drown out his reason. And if the most powerful man in the world needed such discipline, how much more do we? The modern mind faces a new kind of turbulence, constant stimulation, digital overload, a pace of life that leaves little space for reflection. In this environment, the undisciplined mind is not free. It is pulled in every direction by impulse and distraction. It reacts rather than chooses. It races, scattered and anxious without clarity or purpose. To reclaim mental freedom, daily rituals become essential. These are not grand gestures, but deliberate acts of self-respect, rhythms that nourish the brain and anchor the mind. Rest is foundational. Without deep, regular sleep, no philosophy will stabilize your thoughts. Nutrition must be intentional, not to chase trends, but to fuel the brain with what it truly needs: essential fats, balanced minerals, clean energy. Movement is equally vital, not just for the body, but for the mind. Regular physical training clears cognitive fog, balances mood, sharpens focus. The Stoic views such movement not as vanity, but as a sacred discipline. Breathwork and silence further deepen resilience. A few moments of stillness each day, free from screens, free from noise, restore the nervous system and return the mind to clarity. Reflection weaves through all of this. Journaling, contemplation, philosophical reading. These practices keep the mind aligned with virtue, not seduced by impulse. They remind us daily of what matters most, of who we seek to become. Without this reflection, even a disciplined life can drift into mechanical routine. And so, freedom of mind is not a future achievement. It is a daily choice, a daily practice. Not perfection, but consistency. Each morning you choose, will I nourish my mind today? Will I honor the vessel that creates it? Will I practice the disciplines that lead to clarity, to strength, to freedom? In asking and acting on these questions, you build the life you seek. The Stoic does not leave this to chance. He builds his days with care, knowing that how he tends the small determines how he meets the great. For in the end, mental freedom is not about what life gives you. It is about what you choose to give to yourself. And so the path is clear. Build the discipline. Reclaim your mind. Ask daily, does this strengthen or weaken me? At the heart of Stoic practice is discernment, the ability to see clearly which actions, choices, and influences align with your highest self and which pull you away from it. In a world overflowing with options, temptations, and distractions, the unexamined life quickly becomes scattered. The Stoic adopts a simple but powerful filter. With each choice, each input, each habit, he asks, "Does this strengthen me or weaken me?" This question pierces through surface justifications. It brings sharp awareness to what you consume: food, information, conversation, relationships. What you allow into your body and mind either builds clarity and resilience, or it clouds and depletes them. There is no neutral ground. Consider your diet. Does what you eat fuel your brain, stabilize your mood, sustain your energy, or does it inflame, sedate, and disrupt your focus? The Stoic is not a slave to indulgence. He chooses with precision, understanding that each meal either supports or sabotages the clarity of thought he values so deeply. The same applies to media. What you read, watch, and scroll through leaves an imprint on your mind. Does this content inspire reflection, cultivate wisdom, align with virtue, or does it foster envy, agitation, impulsiveness? The Stoic is vigilant about his mental diet, knowing that repeated exposure shapes perception, attention, and judgment. Even relationships are filtered through this lens. Who do you spend time with? Do they challenge you to rise, encourage your growth, support your inner clarity? Or do they drain, distract, and pull you into lesser patterns? The Stoic is not cruel, but he is discerning. He understands that to preserve the strength of his mind, he must choose his companions with care. And then there is the realm of thought itself. When a thought arises, especially one tinged with negativity, self-doubt, or resentment, the Stoic asks, "Does engaging with this thought serve me? Does it strengthen my equanimity, my purpose, my clarity?" If not, he releases it, not through suppression, but through deliberate redirection toward what uplifts and aligns with his values. This daily questioning creates a life of conscious design. It transforms the autopilot mind into a deliberate one. Choices once made from impulse become infused with wisdom. You begin to curate not just your environment, but your very inner landscape. And this is not about rigidity, it is about integrity. The Stoic does not seek to sterilize life, but to harmonize it with what is truly nourishing. Pleasure is welcomed when it enhances virtue, when it is chosen, not when it enslaves. Rest is honored when it restores, not when it becomes avoidance. In all things, the compass remains clear. Does this strengthen or weaken me? Over time, this practice sharpens self-awareness. You become attuned to subtle shifts, foods that cloud your thinking, interactions that drain your spirit, habits that dull your purpose. And with this awareness comes power, the power to align your life, step by step, with the clarity and resilience you seek. So each day, with each choice, pause, ask the question, and trust the answer. For through this daily discernment, the mind is not just preserved, it is elevated. Dopamine moderation, joy through simplicity, not excess. In the modern world, the pursuit of pleasure is endless and exhausting. Every scroll, every notification, every indulgence delivers a small hit of dopamine, a fleeting surge of satisfaction that leaves the brain craving more. But in this constant chase, joy becomes diluted. The mind, overstimulated and restless, loses its capacity for deep contentment. The Stoic sees this clearly. True pleasure is not found in excess, but in simplicity. It is not in flooding the brain with stimulation, but in dripping joy slowly through meaning. Dopamine itself is not the enemy. It is a natural part of human motivation. Without it, we would lack the drive to pursue goals, to seek beauty, to enjoy life's small wonders, but like all forces, it must be governed. The Stoic does not shun pleasure, he masters it. He understands that when dopamine is spiked too frequently through artificial means, junk food, endless entertainment, shallow novelty, the brain's baseline for joy rises unnaturally. Soon, ordinary life feels dull, stillness feels empty, and deeper sources of fulfillment, virtue, connection, creativity, are overshadowed by the hunger for the next hit. Marcus Aurelius, in his meditations, often reminded himself to return to simplicity, to savor nature, honest labor, meaningful conversation. These are the pleasures that nourish without enslaving. They drip joy in moderation, allowing the mind to remain balanced, sensitive to life's subtleties. Modern Stoic practice begins with awareness. You ask, how am I training my brain? Am I constantly chasing stimulation? Am I eroding my ability to feel joy in quiet moments, in simple acts? If the answer is yes, the antidote is not total deprivation, but recalibration. This means creating periods of intentional stillness, moments free from digital noise, from compulsive checking, from superficial rewards. It means savoring slow pleasures, a mindful walk, a nourishing meal, a book read in depth. It means practicing moderation, even in what is good, balancing stimulation with silence, doing with being. Such discipline restores the brain's sensitivity to natural joy. You begin to find pleasure not in excess, but in essence. A single moment of presence becomes more rewarding than an hour of distraction. A genuine conversation nourishes more than 100 social media interactions. Your capacity for deep contentment grows. Moreover, dopamine moderation strengthens resilience. When the mind is no longer addicted to high spikes of pleasure, it becomes more stable. You can endure boredom, discomfort, challenge, because your well-being is not tethered to constant stimulation. You reclaim sovereignty over your inner state, and with this sovereignty comes freedom. You are no longer dragged through life by craving. You choose where to place your attention, your energy. You rediscover the joy of simplicity, the richness of ordinary moments. Life slows, but it deepens. The Stoic does not seek to escape pleasure, but to elevate it, to ensure that joy flows from alignment with virtue and meaning, not from compulsive excess. And in mastering this balance, he finds not only pleasure, but peace. So ask yourself, am I flooding my brain or feeding it wisely? Am I building a mind capable of deep joy or one trapped in shallow craving? In this reflection, the path to freedom reveals itself. Think accurately, not positively. Modern self-help often urges us to think positively, to override negative thoughts with affirmations and forced optimism. But the Stoic takes a different path, a deeper, more courageous one. The goal is not to bathe reality in pleasant colors, but to see it as it is, to think accurately, with clarity and honesty. Because truth, even when hard, is the foundation of real freedom. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "If someone is able to show me that what I think or do is not right, I will happily change, for I seek the truth, by which no one was ever truly harmed." This is the heart of Stoic thought, the pursuit of what is real, not what is comfortable. The Stoic does not fear unpleasant facts. He does not flee from the existence of suffering, impermanence, limitation. Instead, he faces them head-on, knowing that only in doing so can wisdom and resilience be built. Why is this so important for the health of the mind? Because distorted thinking, whether negative or artificially positive, clouds judgment. It weakens discernment. A person who clings to positive thinking at the expense of truth blinds themselves to danger, to necessary change, to their own areas for growth. They become fragile, unable to cope when life inevitably presents hardship that can't be wished away. The Stoic seeks instead to think clearly. When faced with adversity, he does not sugarcoat it. He examines what is truly happening, what is within my control, what is not. What does virtue call me to do here? This honest appraisal brings strength because it roots the mind in reality, and a mind rooted in reality is unshakable. This does not mean embracing cynicism. The Stoic does not cultivate negativity for its own sake. He simply refuses to lie to himself, and in refusing to lie, he frees himself to act wisely. If a challenge is great, he acknowledges it. If a risk is present, he prepares for it. If an error has been made, he corrects it. This constant alignment with what is true sharpens the mind and deepens character. In daily practice, this means questioning your thoughts. Is this accurate? Is this judgment rooted in evidence or in fear, habit or wishful thinking? When an overly negative belief arises, I will fail, I am worthless, the Stoic examines it logically. Often such beliefs collapse under scrutiny. But equally, when a false positive belief arises, nothing can touch me, everything will always go my way, he questions it too. He seeks balance, grounded in reality. Over time, this discipline cultivates a mind that is both clear and calm, free from the distortions of both pessimism and naive optimism. The Stoic meets life as it is, and in doing so, he navigates it with greater wisdom and less suffering. Because it is not positive thinking that sets you free, it is accurate thinking. It is the courage to see clearly and the discipline to respond rightly. So in your own reflections, ask, am I seeking to feel good or to know what is true? Am I building my peace on illusion or on the bedrock of reality? The choice defines the strength of your mind. Environment is the sculptor of thought. We like to think of ourselves as independent thinkers, immune to the subtle influences of our surroundings, but the truth is more humbling and more empowering. Environment shapes thought. The spaces you inhabit, the people you interact with, the sounds, sights, and energies around you, all of these elements sculpt your mental state, often in ways you do not consciously perceive. The Stoic embraces this truth, not with resignation, but with responsibility. If your environment is shaping your mind, then it is your duty to shape your environment. Marcus Aurelius understood this when he wrote, "The things you think about determine the quality of your mind. Your soul takes on the color of your thoughts. But those thoughts are not born in a vacuum. They arise in response to stimulus, conversations overheard, articles read, rooms filled with light or clutter, relationships that inspire or drain. If you do not take charge of your environment, it will take charge of you. Consider your physical space. Is it orderly or chaotic? Clean or cluttered? Stimulating or calming?" The Stoic knows that a cluttered space often breeds a cluttered mind. Simplicity in environment fosters clarity in thought. This is why Stoic practice often embraces minimalism, not as an aesthetic, but as a tool for mental discipline. When the space is clear, the mind is freer to focus, to reflect, to align with virtue. Beyond the physical, the social environment is equally crucial. Who do you spend time with? Are your conversations elevating your thinking or anchoring you in gossip and triviality? The Stoic surrounds himself as much as possible with those who encourage growth, people of character, of curiosity, of depth. And when such company is rare, he turns to the wisdom of books, of nature, of solitude, rather than submitting his mind to corrosive influence. Even digital environments must be curated. The modern world bombards us with endless streams of information, much of it shallow, divisive, anxiety-inducing. Without vigilance, your attention is hijacked, your emotions manipulated, your clarity eroded. The Stoic guards this gate fiercely. He chooses what to read, what to watch, what to engage with, remembering that each input either clarifies the mind or clouds it. This is not about seeking perfection. No environment is entirely within your control, but much is. And the more consciously you shape what is around you, the more powerfully you shape what is within you. A mind nourished by thoughtful input, supported by an ordered space, engaged in meaningful conversation. This is a mind that can think clearly, act wisely, and remain centered amid life's turbulence. So the Stoic asks regularly, does this environment serve my clarity, my discipline, my virtue, or is it eroding them? And where the answer is unfavorable, he takes deliberate steps to adjust, however small, however gradual. Because he knows, environment is not neutral. It sculpts you, and by shaping it with care, you take ownership of your mental path. In this way, the wise create spaces, not grand, but intentional, that support the cultivation of the mind, and through this discipline, they build a life aligned not with distraction, but with purpose. Heal the past, but do not be defined by it. The Stoic faces the past with courage and clarity. He does not deny the wounds he carries, nor does he pretend that past experiences hold no power. To do so would be dishonest. What has happened is real. Trauma leaves marks. Loss shapes us. Mistakes echo in memory. But here lies the heart of Stoic wisdom. While the past must be healed, it must never become the defining narrative of your life. You acknowledge it, learn from it, but do not live within it. Too often, we see people trapped in identity loops shaped by old pain. Because this happened to me, I cannot trust. Because I failed once, I am unworthy. Because I was wounded, I will always be broken. These are judgments layered upon events, stories we tell ourselves. But the Stoic questions these stories relentlessly. He knows, while you cannot change what was, you can always choose what you become in response. Epictetus reminds us, it's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. And this is the foundation of healing in the Stoic path. Healing is not forgetting. It is not pretending. It is seeing the past with honest eyes, feeling what must be felt, processing what must be processed, and then stepping forward, no longer enslaved by it. This requires discipline. The mind often clings to old narratives because they are familiar. Victimhood can become a strange form of comfort. The Stoic rejects this temptation. He recognizes that while the scars remain, they do not dictate his present choices. Each day is a fresh opportunity to align with virtue, to choose courage, to act with wisdom. The past may inform, but it does not command. In practice, this means bringing awareness to your inner dialogue. When a limiting belief rooted in the past arises, ask, "Is this truly who I am now? Does this serve the person I am becoming?" You may need to grieve what was lost. You may need to confront the pain honestly. But after that confrontation, the work is to release, not to carry the wound forward as a shield or an excuse. It also means recognizing when healing requires deeper support. The Stoic does not equate self-mastery with isolation. If old trauma is embedded in body and mind, if it clouds judgment or disrupts well-being, seeking help, whether through therapy, somatic practice, or trusted guidance, is an act of courage, not weakness. True strength lies in doing what is necessary to reclaim your clarity and freedom. Above all, the Stoic honors the present moment. He does not squander today by endlessly reliving yesterday. He knows that each action now shapes what comes next. To be endlessly defined by the past is to betray the opportunity of the present. So the discipline is this: heal the past fully and honestly, but once the work is done, live forward. Define yourself not by what happened, but by how you rise. Let the past be a teacher, not a prison, because in the Stoic path, freedom is not the absence of wounds, it is the mastery of them. It is the choice to meet life as you are now, whole, present, and free to become more. Restore balance without medication, when possible. In a time when modern solutions are often reached for first, it takes a deliberate kind of wisdom to ask, what else might restore me? This is not to reject medical intervention entirely. The Stoic doesn't cling to false pride. If a treatment is necessary, if the body or brain requires urgent support, the wise person accepts it without shame. But the first instinct is not to numb symptoms. It is to understand the source, to restore balance through natural means where possible, to rebuild the foundation rather than simply masking the cracks. Epictetus, though living with great physical limitations, taught that the path to mental clarity is discipline, not dependence. In his time, there were no pills to blunt anxiety, no medications to dull grief. Strength of mind was cultivated through training, breath, movement, reflection, voluntary hardship. This spirit is not lost in modern Stoicism. It remains a core principle. The mind, like the body, grows resilient through intentional practice. The problem arises when medication becomes the first and only response, when discomfort is immediately sedated rather than understood. Anxiety, depression, mental fog, these signals are often rooted in imbalance. Sleep deprivation, nervous system dysregulation, nutrient deficiency, chronic stress, unprocessed trauma. The Stoic asks, what does my system truly need? What can I rebuild before I reach for what numbs? The answer is often humbling. Many of the roots are simple, but not easy to change. Poor sleep hygiene leads to cognitive instability. Sedentary life dulls mood and sharpens anxiety. Processed foods inflame the body and cloud thought. Constant stimulation burns out attention circuits. Each of these must be addressed if true healing is to occur. Restoring balance begins with movement, not for aesthetics, but for the regulation of brain chemistry. Regular physical activity shifts neurotransmitter balance, calms the nervous system, sharpens focus. Breathwork brings immediate regulation to a dysregulated system, lowering cortisol, balancing heart rhythms. Silence, true silence, allows the brain to reset, to process what constant noise prevents. Then comes nourishment. The brain is a hungry organ, requiring not just calories, but key nutrients: omega-3 fatty acids, magnesium, B vitamins, amino acids. Modern diets often leave the brain starved of what it needs to function clearly. Rebuilding begins with mindful eating, aligned with the needs of cognition, not just the desires of habit. And finally, reflection, the ancient practice of sitting with discomfort rather than fleeing from it. Journaling, meditation, philosophical inquiry, these train the mind to face inner experience with strength, not avoidance. When done consistently, they reshape thought patterns, build resilience, restore agency. If after this work the mind remains trapped, if chemical imbalances persist despite deep discipline, the Stoic does not resist necessary medical aid. Wisdom is flexible. But first, he explores every path of natural restoration, because in doing so, he strengthens the foundation upon which all healing rests. For to depend immediately on external fixes is to weaken self-mastery, but to rebuild with patience, to strengthen the system itself, that is the Stoic path, not in denial, but in deliberate care. So ask yourself, what might my body and brain need before I seek sedation? How can I restore balance through discipline, through reverence for the vessel of thought itself? In this reflection lies both wisdom and freedom. Know thy brain type, then build accordingly. Not every mind functions in the same way. What fosters clarity for one person may exhaust another. What disciplines sharpen one mind may overwhelm the next. The Stoic understands this principle deeply. Wisdom is not in applying one rigid formula to all, but in knowing yourself, your temperament, your biology, your natural rhythms, and building your life in harmony with it. The ancient maxim, "Know thyself," is more than philosophical poetry. It is practical necessity. The brain you inhabit has its own tendencies. Some are wired for intensity, thriving on challenge, complexity, rapid movement. Others crave stillness, needing calm, order, deliberate pacing. Neither is superior. Both can walk the path of virtue, but their practices must be tailored accordingly. A Stoic first observes, what strengthens me? What depletes me? Do I require solitude to recharge or engagement? Does rigorous routine stabilize me, or do I require some flexibility? Does high stimulation feed my focus or fragment it? These are not idle questions. They shape the entire architecture of your daily discipline. For example, one person's clarity is built in morning stillness, meditation, reflection, quiet reading. Another may find the same clarity through movement, early exertion that unlocks mental calm. The path must fit the vessel. Forcing practices that contradict your neurobiology leads not to virtue, but to frustration and burnout. The same applies to social engagement. Some thrive in community, drawing strength and inspiration from shared pursuit of wisdom. Others need spacious solitude, processing life internally before emerging to connect. The Stoic honors both paths, so long as they serve clarity and character. Even rest must be personalized. Certain minds require abundant sleep to regulate mood and cognition. Others, once balanced, can function optimally with less. It is not about conforming to one standard, but about listening to your system and providing what allows your best self to emerge. Modern insights into neurodiversity affirm what the Stoics intuited. There is no one correct mind. Variations in attention, sensitivity, processing style, all are part of the human fabric. The Stoic does not judge these differences, nor does he use them as excuses. He simply recognizes wisdom begins with self-knowledge. Discipline must be adapted to the nature of the vessel. This is why reflection is constant. The wise person does not rigidly impose routines that fail to serve. He experiments, observes, adjusts. His question is always, does this practice build clarity, resilience, alignment with virtue? If yes, it is pursued. If no, it is refined. And in this tailoring lies great strength. For a practice aligned with your nature becomes sustainable, nourishing, joyful. It no longer feels like battle, but like an unfolding of potential. You are not forcing your mind, you are partnering with it. So pause today and ask, what is the nature of my mind? What supports its highest functioning? What disciplines serve it best? And from this knowledge, craft your path. Because the Stoic does not seek a borrowed life. He builds his own, crafted with wisdom, shaped by self-understanding. Joy is a responsibility, not a luxury. In the rush of daily life, joy is often treated as an afterthought, a fleeting indulgence reserved for rare moments when all other duties have been fulfilled. But the Stoic knows this is a mistake. Joy is not a luxury, nor is it the passive result of fortune smiling upon you. It is a responsibility, a state of mind to be cultivated with deliberate practice, because a calm, joyful presence is not just a gift to oneself, but an offering to the world. Marcus Aurelius often reflected on the nature of inner contentment, not as something dictated by external events, but as something cultivated through alignment with virtue. He understood that the mood you carry radiates outward. A bitter, restless mind sows discord around it. A joyful, grounded mind creates harmony. To neglect your own joy is, in a sense, to diminish what you can contribute to others. But here, joy must be rightly understood. The Stoic does not chase ecstatic highs, nor does he depend on circumstances for happiness. He seeks a deeper joy, one rooted in clarity, self-respect, and alignment with nature. It's not loud, but steady. Not fragile, but resilient. It persists even when life is difficult, because it's built on the unshakable foundation of a disciplined, well-tended mind. And cultivating this joy is not passive. It is a discipline. It begins with caring for the vessel, nourishing the brain, honoring the rhythms of rest and activity, tending to emotional wounds with courage and honesty. A depleted, inflamed, overstimulated brain cannot sustain joy, no matter how noble one's intentions. The Stoic knows this, and so he makes joy a priority, not by chasing it, but by clearing the obstacles to it. Gratitude is one such practice. Each day the Stoic reflects on what is present, what is good, what is still within his power. This cultivates an orientation towards sufficiency rather than lack. He does not waste energy envying what is absent, but deepens appreciation for what is here. Another practice is presence, attending fully to the moment rather than becoming trapped in regret or anxiety. Joy arises most naturally when the mind is not entangled in the past or future, but is engaged with life as it unfolds. Service is yet another path. The Stoic knows that when he brings value to others through kindness, wisdom, integrity, he reinforces his own sense of purpose, and from purpose, joy flows, because meaning, not indulgence, is the true wellspring of lasting happiness. Thus, the Stoic treats joy not as a distant reward, but as a duty to cultivate here and now. For himself, yes, but also for those around him. A centered, joyful person creates ripples of calm and encouragement. His presence uplifts rather than drains. His relationships deepen, his leadership strengthens. So ask yourself, am I tending to my joy as a responsibility? Or am I neglecting it, waiting for life to grant it to me? The Stoic chooses the former, because in cultivating joy, you do not merely enrich your own life. You become a source of strength and clarity for the world. And in that, joy becomes not only a practice, but a profound form of service. Nourish the brain as you would a sacred temple. In Stoic thought, reverence is not reserved for the gods or for outward rituals alone. The greatest acts of reverence are those directed toward the faculties that guide your life, chief among them, the mind. And if the mind is the seat of reason and virtue, then the brain that gives rise to it must be treated as a sacred vessel. To nourish the brain is not vanity. It is not self-indulgence. It is an ethical duty. For when the brain is strong, clear, and balanced, your ability to live rightly, toward yourself and toward others, profoundly deepens. Yet modern life often ignores this truth. The brain is strained, overstimulated, deprived, neglected, pushed to endure endless noise and stress without proper care. And when it falters, when mood darkens or thought becomes clouded, we wonder why. The Stoic does not fall into this trap. He knows that just as a temple must be cleaned and maintained to remain a place of reverence, so must the brain be tended to with conscious effort. This nourishment begins with what is most basic, yet most often neglected: sleep. Without deep restorative rest, the brain cannot repair, consolidate memory, or regulate emotion. Chronic sleep deprivation is a slow poison, eroding clarity and resilience. Thus, the Stoic treats sleep not as optional, but as essential, a nightly discipline to honor the temple of the mind. Next comes nutrition. The brain is an energy-intensive organ, demanding a steady supply of key nutrients: omega-3 fatty acids to build neural membranes, magnesium to calm the nervous system, antioxidants to combat oxidative stress, amino acids to synthesize neurotransmitters. Processed inflammatory foods disrupt this delicate chemistry. The Stoic eats not for fashion or pleasure alone, but with the conscious aim of fueling the mind for wisdom. Supplementation, too, can be part of this reverence, informed by science, guided by need, not hype. Omega-3 oils, adaptogens, nootropics, targeted vitamins, these can support brain function when chosen with wisdom and precision. But again, the motive is key, not to chase performance for its own sake, but to create the internal conditions for clarity and virtue. Movement is yet another form of nourishment. Regular physical activity is not just for the body. It is a potent stimulator of neurogenesis, mood regulation, cognitive sharpness. The Stoic embraces movement as an integral part of caring for the mind. And then there is learning, the intellectual nourishment of the brain. Just as a temple is kept alive through ritual, the mind is kept alive through the continual pursuit of knowledge. Reading philosophy, studying nature, engaging in meaningful dialogue, these stretch and strengthen neural networks. The Stoic does not let the brain grow dull through passive consumption or idle distraction. He feeds it with depth, with inquiry, with challenge. Lastly, the temple of the brain requires stillness, space for integration, time away from screens, from noise, from constant doing. In silence and solitude, the brain recalibrates, insights arise, emotional balance restores. The Stoic therefore honors the necessity of such space, not as withdrawal from life, but as preparation to engage with it more wisely. In all these ways, rest, nutrition, movement, learning, stillness, the Stoic tends to the brain as a sacred trust. For he knows, if you wish to think rightly, act justly, and serve well, you must first honor the source of thought itself. So reflect today: am I nourishing my brain as I would a sacred temple, or am I treating it as an afterthought? In answering, you chart the course of your mind, and thus of your life. Reject moderation as an excuse for weakness. Everything in moderation. It sounds like wisdom, and in some contexts it can be. But the Stoic sees the danger in how this phrase is often used, not as a guide to balanced living, but as a subtle excuse for self-indulgence, for avoiding the harder, more disciplined path. Moderation can become a shield for choices that weaken rather than strengthen, and the Stoic rejects this dilution of virtue. He chooses with precision, not with lazy compromise. Seneca wrote, "No man is more unhappy than he who never faces adversity, for he is not permitted to prove himself." The same is true of discipline. The one who constantly indulges under the banner of moderation never builds the clarity, resilience, or inner strength that a more deliberate life fosters. What begins as an occasional treat becomes habit. What starts as a small exception becomes erosion of standards. The mind grows fogged. The will weakens. The alignment with virtue fades, not from a single great fall, but from a thousand small indulgences disguised as balance. The Stoic does not call for asceticism for its own sake. He does not seek to eliminate all pleasure, but he does demand honesty. He asks relentlessly, "Does this choice serve my clarity, my strength, my alignment with reason and virtue?" If the answer is no, he does not comfort himself with slogans. He makes the harder choice, the cleaner cut. This discipline applies to all areas of life. In food, the Stoic eats what nourishes, not what merely pleases. He does not indulge and then excuse it with moderation. He chooses what builds a stable, clear mind. In entertainment, he does not consume endless distraction under the guise of balance. He curates his inputs to sharpen thought, not scatter it. In rest, he honors true recovery, not lazy avoidance of purposeful action. Even in speech, the Stoic watches for the same trap. Flattery, gossip, complaining, all can be excused as harmless when done in moderation. But the wise person knows that such habits stain character over time. He speaks with integrity, or he chooses silence. Why such rigor? Because life itself is rigorous. To meet it well, the mind must be honed, the will strengthened. Each indulgence that weakens this core readiness is a tax on future resilience. The Stoic lives with this long view. He sacrifices short-term comfort for enduring clarity and strength. And in this discipline lies a paradoxical freedom. The person who rejects false moderation is not deprived. He is liberated from craving, from self-justification, from the endless noise of unexamined desire. His pleasures are deeper because they are chosen. His mind is clearer because it is not cluttered by rationalizations. His life is lighter, more focused, more free. So the next time you hear the voice of "everything in moderation" rising to excuse a weakening choice, pause, ask, is this truly moderation, or is it avoidance of the higher path? The Stoic knows the answer and chooses accordingly. Because discipline is not restriction, it is liberation. And only through precision, not lazy balance, does the mind remain strong. Without clarity, purpose crumbles. The Stoic knows that purpose is not sustained by willpower alone. It is fed by clarity. Without clarity, even the noblest intentions wither. The mind grows fogged, decisions lose their sharpness, and action becomes scattered. A person without clarity may still speak of virtue, of goals, of meaning, but in practice their days drift, their focus fragments. The path becomes lost, not through lack of effort, but through lack of vision. Marcus Aurelius reminds us, "If you are disturbed by external things, it is not they that trouble you, but your own judgment of them, and it is in your power to wipe out that judgment." The Stoic extends this wisdom inward. When purpose falters, it is often not because life has grown too hard, but because the mind has grown too clouded. And what clouds the mind? Poor physical care, lack of rest, poor nutrition, overstimulation, emotional residue, unprocessed grief, unresolved anger, chronic anxiety, intellectual clutter, too much shallow input, too little reflection, environmental chaos, spaces that agitate rather than ground. The Stoic sees clearly, when the brain is in disarray, the mind cannot hold purpose steady. The path blurs, the self fragments. Thus, clarity is not a luxury, it is the foundation of a purposeful life. Without it, virtue falters. Without it, courage gives way to reactivity. Without it, temperance collapses into indulgence. Without it, justice drifts into self-interest. every stoic discipline, every meditation, every practice is ultimately aimed at preserving this inner clarity, this alignment with reason. Practically, this means the stoic guards the gates of his mind with care. He prioritizes sleep, knowing that an exhausted brain cannot think clearly. He eats for nourishment, not just for pleasure, because blood sugar swings and inflammation distort thought. He curates his inputs, avoiding endless noise, seeking out what sharpens perception. He honors silence and reflection, giving the mind space to process, to integrate, to return to calm focus. It also means tending to the emotional body. The Stoic does not suppress feeling, but he processes it deliberately. He grieves what must be grieved. He examines resentment before it festers. He brings fear into the light, questioning its roots. In this emotional hygiene, clarity is preserved, and above all, he returns constantly to the question, what is my purpose? What is the highest aim of my life? For without this question, discipline drifts into routine, and routine into meaninglessness. Purpose must be refreshed, revisited, reaffirmed, not once, but daily. For the Stoic understands, a fogged mind cannot walk the narrow path of virtue. Clarity must be cultivated as fiercely as courage, as patiently as wisdom. It is the lens through which all other strengths come into focus. So today, ask yourself, what is clouding my mind? What must I clear, strengthen, nourish to see my path again? For in doing so, you do not merely reclaim focus, you reclaim your life. Because in the end, clarity is not an accessory to purpose, it is its foundation, and the disciplined mind tends that foundation with reverence. You are the guardian of your mind. Guard its gate through discipline, silence, and nourishment. This is where the entire path leads, not to some distant enlightenment, but to the daily mastery of your inner world. The Stoic understands that the mind is the seat of all virtue, all clarity, all freedom. And it is fragile when left unguarded. Just as a city must protect its gates to preserve peace within, so must you protect the gates of your mind, deliberately, vigilantly, with deep care. Discipline is the first line of defense. The choices you make each day, how you rest, what you consume, how you move, either strengthen or weaken the clarity of your thought. There is no neutrality here. The Stoic builds rituals not out of rigid dogma, but out of reverence for what those practices preserve, a mind capable of wisdom, of courage, of compassion. Silence is the second guard. In the modern world, noise is relentless. The mind, bombarded by constant input, loses its ability to discern, to reflect, to see what is true. The Stoic seeks silence not to escape life, but to return to it with fresh perception. Stillness is where integration happens. It is where scattered thought becomes focused, where distraction falls away and purpose sharpens. And nourishment is the third, often most overlooked, pillar. The brain is a living organ. To expect it to function with clarity while feeding it poorly, depriving it of sleep, or overloading it with stimulation is folly. The Stoic honors this truth. He nourishes the brain as a sacred trust. Through movement, through clean nutrition, through learning, through meaningful rest, he tends the vessel so that the mind it produces can serve virtue. In this way, the Stoic becomes a true guardian, not out of fear, but out of love for what is possible when the mind is clear, because when clarity reigns, the path of virtue becomes visible, choices align with purpose, actions flow from wisdom. Even in adversity, the disciplined mind remains free. So the final call is simple but profound. Guard your mind. Each day, each choice, For in guarding it well, you do not just serve yourself, you serve all those whose lives you touch. A clear, calm, purposeful mind ripples outward, shaping a better world. And this is the essence of the Stoic discipline for inner clarity and strength, not to master others, but to master the self. Not to chase external power, but to cultivate the greatest power of all, a mind at peace with itself, aligned with virtue and free.